It's game time. And if you've got a hunch about this NBA season, you could turn it into a big win on FanDuel. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win.
Ooh, that guy's hotter than a microwave burrito.
Now that's a red-hot hunch.
21 plus and present in Ohio. Must be first online real money wager. $5 deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Ray Foley on Today FM.
Good afternoon, Ray Foley's my name. There's JP.
Hiya.
And Jess Kelly's here.
I love her. I like her.
Hello.
How are we?
Good. Yeah, see this about Lady Gaga. She's done an ad for Abracababra.
Is she actually?
Mad for the taco fries, she is.
Is she?
Yeah. That's the whole song. It's a whole tie-in thing, apparently.
Oh, go away.
Well, Katy Perry, of course, was advertising Just Eat, wasn't she?
That ad absolutely pecked my brain. I cannot... Do you know that one?
The Amy Wine... not Amy Winehouse. What did you say? Katy Perry?
Katy Perry,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Her and Snoop Doggy Dog.
I remember
Dog.
Snoop Dogg doing one.
They did one. But didn't they do one together?
They did, yeah.
All right.
It's the most cringe thing and it actually puts me off eating.
It can have the effect then of like, because you don't like a celebrity, you wouldn't necessarily go for the, unless it's something like Just Eat, in which case they get so many celebrities to endorse their products that there's eventually one of the celebrities that you would be inclined to believe. Is there anything that you've bought that a celebrity's name has been on it? Have you been swayed?
I've been swayed a lot by influencers, particularly during the Penny D. I was absolutely feral for, you know, the toothbrush that every influencer in Ireland was paid to promote. Bought one of them, absolute heap of junk. Bought a Jade skin roller.
Jade from Little Mix?
That's the one, yeah.
Jade Thirlwall.
No, do you know what it's... do you not know this?
No.
Jade from Big Brother, no?
I roll my skin naturally. My skin rolls naturally.
Does it?
Yeah, you do have skin rolls.
I also have chin rolls. I have natural chin rolls. But I actually bought a proper Jade roller thing as an influencer one. The only... influencery celebrity thing, and it's good stuff, is Amy Connolly's Sculpted by Amy.
She's still an influencer though, isn't she?
She is. You know, she's 2 years younger than me. She went to the same school as me and she's worth millions.
It's all coming out now, isn't it?
And I'd spent 60 quid yesterday buying the new skincare stuff. Outrageous. But yeah, I like her a lot. But I actually find I'm more given the ick by celebrity products.
What about George Foreman?
Oh, I had one of them, but it broke on me.
That's the... Well,
you shouldn't have been using it on yourself, then, should you?
I shouldn't
have been using it to roll your jade stones.
I know, it's my own fault. Buyer beware, lads, buyer beware.
0874-100-102. Has a celebrity's name on something made you buy it? Or the other thing that we were talking about was it just you bought something and it happened to have a celebrity's name on it? Like Jamie Oliver is in our house. Nicky Clark with the hair dryers.
Oh, do you remember the Nicky Clark hair dryers? Yeah.
There's loads of those things that it's like, I'm not buying it because that person's name is on it, just happens to be on it.
George Clooney does an espresso ads.
But I'd still, like, when I had an espresso machine, I wasn't using the...
Correct.
Yeah, I was buying the pods because I needed to put them in the machine.
Exactly. It's like when Taylor Swift did the Apple ad. Apple doesn't need to advertise. Taylor Swift doesn't need to advertise. You're just showing off that you have Taylor Swift's number, Tim Cook. Calm down.
There's a bunch of them then that have the spirits as well. George has his own spirit.
One of the Jenners.
The Jenners. Ryan Reynolds is a gin flogger.
Oh, the AVA. Oh, yeah.
He's got his own phone brand as well, doesn't he? Mint or mobile service.
He's filthy rich.
Yeah. Well, what have you bought? 0874-100-102 because someone's name is on it. Or what have you bought by fluke that you were like, just, it's just an accident. Let's have a look at a different story. And I thought of you, Jess, and I thought maybe you could explain it for us. I listened to, what is it, 42 and me?
23 and me.
23 and me.
You were close.
I'm older. I'm a lot older than you, though, Jess. That's the thing you see.
I'm just a teenager.
23 and me. Mm-hmm. And if you listen to any podcast, you'll hear an ad usually for 23 and me. They're a genealogy sort of DNA company. You send off your tests, your DNA, and then they send you back a whole thing about your family tree, who you are, where you come from, what your lineage looks like. And I remember someone, because I was going to do it. I was going to do one of these. I don't know which one. There's a bunch of different DNA swab companies. And I was going to do it. And someone said, no, don't do that, because they harvest your data. They hold on to that and they sell it to the highest bidder, because you sign a thing when you sign up on their website, you sign away your rights to your DNA, basically. And then I heard another podcast. What was the true crime podcast where someone went missing and it turned out that she had been maybe she had been killed or something or whatever it was. But basically, the gist of it was, this is in America, someone had gone missing and a body years and years later was identified as being, the person was killed and they were looking for someone, or whatever the detail was. But it wasn't, I'm trying to remember the exact details. It was on a podcast of true crime. And the way they found the killer basically was the killer's brother had done one of these DNA tests on the internet. And because the DNA test that was done on the internet was made public somewhere on one of these online forums in America, these amateur sleuths, these amateur researchers were able to connect the brother via this killer via the brother's DNA. They were like, okay, so we found someone that is super close to this person.
Yeah.
But this person, not specifically this person, is the killer. But we've gotten so close that we've narrowed it down to the brother. And then all they needed to do was find the rest of, go through the rest of the family. And they found, like years later, years after the killing, they locked up this guy. But this must be, and straight away you're thinking, what are they doing? If I send off my swab or send off my test, what are they doing with my DNA? Anyway, this is a story of 23andMe.
Yeah.
They're going into liquidation.
Yeah, they have just declared themselves as bankrupt. Now, this has come a number of years after the worst case scenario for a company like this arose, in that hackers gained access to their DNA database and put a whole lot of files out there into the open. So this is obviously, you'd wonder, you know, how much data can somebody get from a DNA sample? But in that instance of a murder or a serious crime or anything like that, it is seriously concerning. We also know that in certain parts of the world, the police forces have DNA databases. In certain jurisdictions, they don't. But if you've submitted your DNA to one of these services and it's being stored in a cold storage facility somewhere in the world, and that information gets leaked, you could then, you know, end up liable if you have in fact committed a crime.
So clearly this was digital then, obviously. So whatever was done, the analysis, they worked it out, they did their calculations, they did everything they could do with it physically, and then they digitized it, and they put it wherever their servers, and then this was hacked, and then they got into this. My question is, with a company like this hitting the wall now, who owns it? And then couldn't someone swoop in and go, I tell you what, lads, we'll buy all of that. Yeah. We'll buy all that stuff.
Yeah. So this is the scary thing, is that the DNA samples that they have, the physical specimens, are products, and that they're owned by the company. So if they were to turn around and be sold in the morning, whoever buys it wouldn't just buy the brand of the company, they would also buy all of the assets. That includes those DNA samples. It's also really interesting. I've spent the last few hours just digging a little bit deeper into the privacy policies of quite a few of these companies.
Right.
And it's really interesting to see how they differ from, you know, in America versus here in Europe, because of my beloved
GDPR, baby.
There we go, guys.
We're learning. Yes. Every time she comes in here, we learn a little bit more about privacy protection and GDPR.
Making you nerdy one time.
So we are more protected in the EU, are we?
Okay. We are. Because what we have, so with GDPR, you can't have these opt-in clauses whereby I sign up to track my family tree, therefore you can do whatever you want with my data. If I wanted, or if I was okay with them using my data for research purposes, for example, I'd have to sign a specific waiver for that.
Okay.
I also have the right to ask them to amend any of the records and also fully delete the records. So we have very clear, very transparent policies there. But there is still that concern of the fact that your sample would be sitting in a cool storage facility somewhere indefinitely. And then also, you know, say if you had put your sample forward, you hadn't made any changes to it, and then if you do pass away, what happens to your data? Is it just held there forever? Can decisions then be made on your behalf? It's a pretty murky area, and there are millions of people from around the world who have done it. There are so many of these services, and one of the reasons why 23andMe went wallop, not only because of the hacking incident, but also because they've realised this isn't a return service. You just need one person in a family, if you're bothered, to do it, and then
we're all in.
But you're not going to go back going, oh, I want to do it again this year. So the reoccurring business.
Oh, right, okay. So it's not a subscription. It's not like people can keep coming come back and go, I got you.
So from a business point of view, it's not great. So what they're trying, what some of them are trying to do is monetize the amount of information that they have. So say if you were a science student or a science body and you wanted to get a mass amount of data samples from people who are in their 30s in a certain part of the world, you can approach one of these companies and ask for...
Give us all your Irish people born between the years whatever and whatever, and we can learn something about those people,
but
right?
Again, because we have the GDPR and because it's not just taken for granted that we're okay with it, if you haven't expressed your consent for that, then you're not included in it. But it is fascinating to kind of contemplate the fact that all of these samples are sitting there, and yet people are so allergic to the idea of any form of biometric data being used for security reasons.
One final question. What is it you send off? Is it blood or is it a... It's a hardy blood. It's a swab.
Spit sample.
A spit.
Yeah. So I actually forgot. I did do one of these as part of a report for my BFF PK.
They have you now.
Yeah. But you know what the hardest... And this is really gross and I'm sorry if you're eating. Have you ever tried to spit into a tube?
No, not very often.
Well, challenge accepted now.
I'm never accepting a smarty off you again.
No, it is one of the hardest things I have ever done in my life was to spit.
It's the aim.
No, it's the aim, but it's also, like, I'm not a spitty person. And so to develop enough spit to fill to the line, I actually ended up, like, gagging.
Oh, my God, Jess.
My mother, she did one of these tests. And,
and the cops came calling a week later.
I was done for murder the next week. Well, no, worse than, well, more surprising than that, she was found out she had Angolan roots.
What?
Like 0.1% Angolan. The West African country, Angola.
So how much Angolan are you then, based on your mother being...
Well, I guess I'd nearly be, half a quarter of that, so 0.025 Angolan.
Do you know what? I always knew there was a bit of Angolan about him. The first day I met him, I thought, look at your man. He's definitely a bit Angolan. 0874 100 102. Have you done it? Have you sent off a swab? Or have you spat into a tube? And if you eat, you know what? If you struggle, fair play to you. Well done. Filling the tube up to the line.
Ray Foley on Today FM.